Hi, this is Rosie. Welcome to What Does Your Family Look Like? We're here today for the third episode with Tanya. We're going to talk about her how she helps her clients with ADHD. So, Tan, when people come to you with ADHD, do they know at the time that it's ADHD?
Yeah, that's a good question. Some people come looking to be evaluated. I used to do the evaluations. The best kind of evaluation is testing, mm-hmm. Because some of the symptoms of ADHD look like other disorders. So, for instance, inattention, right, is people can have trouble with attention when they're anxious mm-hmm. or when they're depressed, right? Hyperactivity can show up both in the mania part of bipolar as well as an ADHD, right? So you can use a symptom checklist like you do for a lot of other disorders. I mean, that's the way psychologists are, one of the ways we're taught to diagnose is there's a manual for us, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders. And you can, just use that and look at the symptoms and ask questions. The only problem is that ruling out a different, making a decision, a differential diagnosis between two diagnoses can be a problem, can be difficult. So if you do testing, like a neuropsychological or psychoeducational testing, where you're actually testing the abilities of the person, you have a better chance of seeing where the deficits are and getting a better idea of whether you're really looking at attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or some other disorder where there are inattention problems or impulsivity or hyperactivity. So so it depends. Some clients come and they already have a diagnosis, or they feel like they're pretty sure that they have it. Maybe they've taken something online or looked at the criteria, or they've been struggling for a long time. And so sometimes I'll suggest that they go and get a formal diagnosis. It all depends. So my philosophy is I've always been less concerned about diagnosis and more concerned with helping people. So if someone comes to me and they don't feel they need to know whether they have the diagnosis, right? So the other reason you need a diagnosis is if you want to get medicated, it's good to know what the right medicine is, right? What are you treating? Because the medicine for anxiety, depression, ADHD, bipolar, they're all different meds. And one, the wrong med can make something else worse, right? If you're on the wrong med. So that's another reason someone should probably get diagnosed. But if that's not the case, and the client is not that concerned about an official diagnosis, they're just struggling with ADHD-like symptoms, then I'm happy to just help them without knowing for sure whether that's what they have. So it really depends on the client taking the medicine. The problem with a medicine is it can only fix so much. It's like with all these medicines. How you set your life up and how you relate to your struggles, what's hard for you, makes a lot of difference. And there's no drug that can do that for you, period. It just can't. So somebody might be medicated and still, have a hard time organizing themselves or getting themselves motivated to do something they know they really need to do, or being on time. It depends what the symptoms are. So I can help people whether they're on the medicine or not. And I'm not against medicine. It just depends how people feel. And I'm also very supportive of people who don't want to go on medicine and they want to see if they can manage it on their own. I kind of leave it to the client.
Right. So one of the ways you help them is with executive functioning skills. Tell us what that is and elaborate?
Yeah. So executive functioning is all the kind of planning, organizing, I guess those are the best ones, planning and organizing. I'm sure I'm missing some right now in my head. But your ability to pay attention too, right? So your ability to sustain attention, shift attention. So people can get hyper-focused. That's one of the symptoms of ADHD for some people too, which is no better than not being able to focus, right? If you're so focused on something, you can't shift attention away from it. That's how sometimes people with ADHD will lose track of time. So they get really involved in something. Maybe they have a hard time getting started. So a lot of clients with ADHD will say they have a hard time getting started. And once they get started, they get really into it. But then they lose track of time. So they need to set alarms so that they, if they know they have something else coming or that sort of thing. So executive functioning is about attention, focus, planning, organizing, that sort of thing.
So do you work with students that do you
sometimes
help them plan long-range projects?
Sometimes, yep.
Can you What are some of the methods?
Well, so, I mean, yeah, some of the very general things that I would do with anybody struggling with, you know, again, whether they have ADHD or not, is to break tasks down into smaller tasks, mm-hmm. right? And for, that's helpful for a couple reasons. One is that if even any of us think about this, you don't have to have ADHD to imagine, right, that there's some huge task you have to do. So let's say, you know, you're trying to move out of your house. The notion of getting all of that, going through all of that stuff, deciding what you want to take, packing it up, getting into boxes, moving into the new place. I mean, it's huge. It's overwhelming.
Daunting.
It's really daunting. Mm-hmm. And so that will keep people from actually starting the task in the first place. Mm-hmm. Understandably so. So mm-hmm. that's the other thing. I do a lot of normalizing, right? Mm-hmm. Because whether you have ADHD or not, that those tasks are daunting.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be even harder for somebody with ADHD if that's one of their symptoms. Again, just because you have ADHD doesn't mean all people with ADHD look the same. They can have some of the symptoms and not others, right? Mm-hmm, so it depends. Mm-hmm. So I will help people break tasks down into smaller tasks, both so that it doesn't feel overwhelming. And I try to remind them to just look at the first task, mm-hmm. right? Like, today is not about moving. Today
right.
is about spending, you can even give it a period of time, an mm-hmm. hour, you know, looking through the books on a particular shelf and maybe making a decision about which ones you're going to keep and which ones you're going to give away, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, mm-hmm. right? And that's all you're doing today. Now, every time your brain wants to think about, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do? I got all these other books too, and I've got, and look at that area. And that's what's hard with ADHD, is to bring your attention back, right? So this mindfulness stuff that I talked about in the other
right.
episodes, right, is crucial for somebody with ADHD, right? That and it's harder for somebody with ADHD, and yet that's the best training you can have, is to meditate and that sort of thing, practice with your ability to notice you've gotten distracted and come back, mm-hmm. right? So you just try to do the first thing that's on your list, right? So breaking tasks down to smaller tasks can be really helpful. That's one of the skills.
Is that called chunking?
Or yes, chunking.
Okay, chunking.
Yep. I mean, people use the word chunking too for remembering things, for memory.
Right.
So like telephone numbers, you know, the mm-hmm. reason our telephone numbers have the three sets of numbers is that people tend to be able to remember three or four numbers better than mm-hmm. seven, mm-hmm. right? So you chunk them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, often when people are talking chunking, they're talking memory, but call it what you want. Yeah. Breaking tasks down to smaller chunks. Sure. Right. That's chunking too.
Right.
Yep.
And like for me personally, organizing comes naturally to me.
Right.
And I never thought that that was like a skill set.
Right.
But as I've gone through life, I'm actually really grateful that that comes natural to me.
Absolutely.
And I can imagine how hard that is. How much of our life is deadlines and organizing.
Yes.
And, you know, it's so essential.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on what you're helping somebody with organizationally, right? Buying the right things to store things in, for instance, right? So that you can track, you know, so like mail. Sometimes people with ADHD get overwhelmed by mail. I think that's
right.
less true for people now because so many things are electronic. Like
right.
clients don't come in talking about mail like they used to. It's really funny to watch transition over
that's
time.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it occurs to me as we're talking, like, when's the last time a client told me they had problems with mail? Because if people with ADHD are usually smart enough to know that they need as much auto billing as they possibly can, where
okay.
they don't need to, they don't want to think about it, right?
Right.
You just take it out of my account. Now, of course, if they don't know how much like an electric bill is going to be or a gas bill, that could be problematic if they're not good at keeping up with their finances
right.
and seeing how much it
right.
took out, right? They can end up bouncing checks and that sort mm-hmm. of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're you know, going underneath their, you know, under a zero balance. So, but yeah, people don't talk about mail as much, but you know, it's kind of having a place for everything. So that's the other thing. People, you know, people tend to lose things with ADHD. That's one of the problems people can have. They lose things, they mm-hmm. misplace them. So you set up your house in such a way that there's a place for everything. And then you have to try to be disciplined about that, which is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
People with ADHD will tend to, even if they have a place to hang their keys, before they know it, they've put their keys somewhere else and now mm-hmm. they can't find them, right? But really trying to have a place for everything. Trying not to have a lot of clutter in your house, bins. You know, there's so many systems. I'm looking around your house as you see me. You know, just at all the bins and everything that people use these days,
mm-hmm.
right? Color coding things, depending
right.
on what you're doing. You know, if it's schoolwork,
right.
you know, having lots of sections and dividers, having systems for yourself, like
right.
knowing. So, like, I've helped clients with schedules for themselves, right? So, like, you know, every Saturday you do your laundry and, you know, every Monday night Sunday night you cook for the week, that sort of thing. You know, getting yourself to do things in bulk
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to rely on the motivation every single night, you know,
it's just
to make
routine.
More food. Exactly.
You build routine.
Exactly.
And it becomes second nature.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Right. I mean, that's the thing also that's really hard for people with ADHD is that they – so some people I used to work for, they used to call ADHD – they still call ADHD a disorder of timing. So it's not that they – people with ADHD don't know what to do. They can't keep it going. So the timing part is, first of all, they can't keep it going, right? They, timing is an issue because they can't get started. They lose track of time, right? They can't get themselves to stay on track, mm-hmm. right? So they might come up with a system and it works for a while, and then before they know it, they fall off. So one of the things I always say to my clients with ADHD is how you approach the falling off your system mm-hmm. is very important. If you're really negative about it and you kind of say to yourself, see, yeah, I just can't follow systems, then that you're less likely to then
be successful.
Exactly. Get back on this. You know, just start. What I say to them is, if you notice you've fallen off, don't waste a moment giving yourself a hard time. Right. Be excited. This is a mindfulness concept. Be excited that you recognized you fell off and just get right back on.
Right.
And if you have to do that 100 times in a month, do it. I mean, you just keep getting back mm-hmm. on. Okay, this that didn't work. Let me just do it again.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So,
talk to me about distraction.
That's a tough one, right? I mean, the bottom line is, if you can set up environments for yourself where you're less distracted, that's going to work better. You know.
Okay.
So it's why people with ADHD can get accommodations, for instance, for test taking. Yeah, they get a lot of accommodations in school sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Like, they get extended time for tests because they're sometimes not as quick, or they get distracted while they're doing it, and even by their own brain. Sometimes the room can be completely quiet and their own brain can distract them, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, but you know, having fewer distractions, although then you have a group of people with ADHD who can only focus if they have background noise, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, again, part of the work is to, again, the self-awareness that I talk about in mindfulness, yeah. right? You need to get to know yourself really well. Instead right. of spending lots of time giving yourself a hard time mm-hmm. about what's easy and what's hard for you, mm-hmm. just know yourself really well and learn how to compensate. Mm-hmm. So, they are, you know, it's the big joke, you know, the squirrel joke, you know, like with the dog, you know, squirrel, you know, somebody walks by and all of a sudden, you know, they.
Oh, right, right,
yeah,
right.
They're distracted, right, you know, like.
Right,
oh,
right, right.
You know, and we joke, the bright, yeah. shiny object gets their attention.
Right.
And so one of the things that I also do with clients who have ADHD is I try to help them see their strengths and how, why their brains are doing what they're doing, right? So if you think about how we developed as a species, we did not live in these bizarre environments we live in now, you know, where you're inside, right? Being inside is terrible for everybody. But a lot of times people with ADHD will say that's even more crucial for them to be outside more often, moving their bodies, mm-hmm. right? That's how we evolved. Move our bodies, be outside. And
walk everywhere.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly, which is so – it's good for everybody, mm-hmm. but it's especially good for people with ADHD. And so the thing is that if you think about your brain developing to keep you safe, people with ADHD, it makes sense, right? The bright, shiny object's exactly what gets their attention. Well, that's all the stuff that really matters in terms of survival.
Right.
Right now we have to pay attention to this stuff that actually doesn't make any – sense mm-hmm. to pay attention to, and mm-hmm. yet we've evolved in this world where you're paying attention to these boring, what seems like meaningless tasks, and of course it's hard to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So I'd really try to normalize that for people. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing's wrong with you. It's just, you know, you'd be better out in the wild surviving than the rest of us.
Right.
You know, so I'm
right.
not sure what to tell you. You know, you have your strengths, and we all have our strengths and weaknesses.
Right, right.
And because you live in the world we live in, it is hard. And sometimes also just helping people, if they're early enough on in their careers, trying to get them to look for a career that celebrates their strengths, right? That allows them to move around more and not have to focus on these boring tasks all day mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that don't involve, you know, lots of organization mm-hmm. and, you know, those aren't good jobs
right.
for people who aren't good at that.
Right.
And that's okay. We don't all have to be good at that.
The hyper-focus aspect mm-hmm. can be a real positive, right?
Absolutely.
I mean...
That's right.
Research. And,
that's right.
You know.
Which is why mindfulness is so important, right? You need to be aware of when these ways of being in the world are working for you and when they're not, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why just kind of having this very negative view of yourself, which is easy to have, mm-hmm. sometimes people with ADHD get in a lot of trouble in school or they're not successful. And because when you're a kid, you're getting judged so, you know, so much of your kind of are you good enough and your self-worth is getting judged based on how well you do in school,
mm-hmm.
it's easy for people with ADHD to think they're stupid,
right?
You know, and they're
not
good
true.
Enough. It's terrible. No, actually, What we do know is that on average, somebody with ADHD has a higher IQ than somebody without it, mm-hmm. on average, mm-hmm. right? So no, they're very bright humans.
But they're just, but they cause distraction in classes, and so
right.
they end up
trouble.
With this label.
Yes.
And, yeah.
That's right. That's right. And so again, you know, like helping people kind of just recognize where, you know, where are your strengths, where are your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, again, I'm a big believer, every weakness also has its contexts in which it's a strength and
right.
vice versa.
Right.
So it's a matter of figuring out when these parts of yourself work better and figure out ways to compensate when they don't, or pick jobs or settings that work better for you.
Yeah.
That's why I think sometimes, so people with ADHD, sometimes a work from home environment is better because it's quiet and they can really focus. But sometimes it's, there are way too many distractions. It's too easy to, before you know it, like do all the house stuff and not be doing your
right,
work because
right.
that's more interesting because you're moving around.
Right.
So you've just got to know yourself.
Yeah, you do. You have to know yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've noticed just for myself, as I've gotten older, I feel like I have a little of that ADHD thing where I'll start a task and then I'm downstairs and well, oh, I something shouted at me. I have to fix that. I do that. And then something else. And then I do that. And then I forgot what I was
exactly.
doing. And I started spending like, especially during COVID, because we really weren't moving around, right?
Yeah.
Except maybe taking a walk outside. But I noticed that I got so distracted and everything became tangential. And I felt like I didn't get anything done by the end of the day. And I kind of looked back and I was like, oh my gosh, I was the dog with the squirrel all day long.
Yeah, I wonder whether some of that's anxiety-based too during COVID. Because I think that we were anxious.
I still do it though.
And I
think I had read someplace where as you get older, that
yeah.
can happen.
Yeah.
But you know when you said before that if you notice what you're doing and you can reel it in? And I'm starting to do that because now I'm starting to know myself better because that isn't how I used to operate. And now I'm like, stop, just stop, just finish
yep.
this task.
Yep, you can watch yourself doing it. It's like, I'll have to do that later.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So yeah, self-awareness is key.
Yeah, self-awareness
sure.
is key.
Yep.
Well, I think you have given us so many little helpful hints
Good.
And insights into ADHD. Thank you.
I'm so glad.
Thank
you're welcome.
You. Since you're around the corner from me, I may be pulling you in for other ones because I'm really
okay.
enjoying this.
No problem. I am too. It's
okay.
fun.
All right. Great.
Good.
Thanks, Don.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. I hope you've gained a little more understanding of ADHD. It is my belief that these strategies are helpful for anyone, ADHD or not. I am grateful to Tanya for being here with us on the podcast. It is clear she possesses not only a depth of knowledge of her chosen field, but also a kindness and compassion for her clients and humans in general. I'd like to take this time to once again thank my other two guests, Eliza and Sharon. Thank you all for helping me complete another season. In looking back in my life, I realize that I have surrounded myself with really smart people, much, much smarter than I. I was the B-minus student and somehow found myself hanging out with the A students. I don't know how that happened. However, I feel grateful for it. I used to feel a little less than until I found my own power and talents. It took me a long time, but it's never too late. I am grateful for the insights, lessons, and ideas that I have gleaned from others along my life's journey. You never know who is around the corner at that next gathering that will pique your interest, inspire you, or become a lifelong friend. Everyone has a story. What's yours? Thanks for listening to another season of What Does Your Family Look Like? Be well. Please like and subscribe and follow us on all social media at WDYFLL, the podcast.